and celebrate Thanksgiving. And I think most people are going to do this because Thanksgiving has been declared a national holiday. And quite frankly, I'm glad that we live in a nation that does something with such a solid biblical foundation. In fact, I'm afraid that if the secularists are ever getting around to figuring out that Thanksgiving truly is a religious holiday, they'll start to protest it like they do Christmas. But the giving of thanks, and that's because the giving of thanks implies gratitude towards God. And all you got to do is go do a little research of the history of the holiday and its beginnings with the pilgrims to see that even in the midst of very discouraging and very difficult settings, they abounded with thanksgiving to their God. Now, I think it's good that we as Americans celebrate Thanksgiving, but as Christians, it's quite obvious we should not need a national holiday to impel or compel us to the giving of thanks. Thanksgiving should be woven into the very fabric of our lives as followers of Christ. Thankfulness should be one of the fundamental traits which define us. The giving of thanks should be as natural to our spiritual lives as breathing is to our physical existence. All we need to do to understand this is to look at the volume of Scripture which deals with the issue of thanksgiving. And we're going to be here long enough today to look at all of it. No, you can be thankful that we're not. Some of the best examples of passages in the Scriptures that declare the giving of thanks are the Psalms. And there are some 35 psalms that could easily be said to that is their theme and their purpose for existing. Clearly, more than one-fifth of the psalms include expressions of thanksgiving. And even though many other psalms, that wouldn't be their theme, there are many other psalms that do express thanksgiving. And thankfulness should come easy to us as Christians because we understand the grace of God. We know how undeserving we are of God's blessings. We know the tremendous sacrifice which was made to accomplish our salvation. We understand the riches of God which have been conferred upon us at Christ's expense. And it should not take very much for us as Christians to cultivate a genuine attitude of gratitude. Christians should be the most grateful people on the planet. But I have to ask you, is it enough to just have an attitude of thankfulness? Is it sufficient for us to have hearts filled with thankfulness to God? What good is an attitude if it never manifests itself in actions? Jesus taught us the truth about a lot of the bad things that flow out of us, right? They come from the heart. Well, folks, if our hearts are full of gratitude, then there ought to be some of that flowing out as well. It ought to be expressing itself. It needs to be. Gratitude is something that needs to be expressed so that our lives, our outward actions, give evidence of an internal attitude of thankfulness. So I want to challenge you today to consider that an attitude of gratitude is good, but it's not enough. Gratitude is an internal attitude, but the giving of thanks, genuine giving of thanks, is an external expression of that gratitude. And we should have the attitude, but from the attitude should flow our gratitude in the giving of thanks. Giving conveys the idea of an outward expression, an audible manifestation of an inward attitude. And we have a great example to look at in Scripture of one who expresses gratitude. The Apostle Paul, we're going to look at some of the things, the ways in which he expressed his gratitude. He was a man who could not contain his attitude. His attitude of thankfulness expressed itself frequently. And he put his thanks to God in writing in all but two of the letters that he wrote to the churches. And in most of these letters, it's one of the first things in the letter. Paul's gratitude was so much on his mind that when he would start a letter, that thankfulness was about the first thing that went on to the papyrus in his writing. So very early in his letters, we're going to see Paul saying, "I thank my God." And we're going to do a survey of those expressions of gratitude beginning in the book of Romans. So if you want to start there, turn to Romans chapter 1. I'll just preface what we're going to read by saying that genuine expressions of a gratitude are not only expressed to God, but they are expressed to others. Our gratitude should mirror our worship, really. We are the greatest commandment, love God, and we ought to express gratitude to God. The second greatest commandment, love others as you love yourself, and our expressions of gratitude should be expressed to others. And as we examine or just survey these expressions of thanksgiving in the letters that he wrote, we're going to be challenged to examine our own expressions of gratitude either towards God or others, or to others themselves. So let's begin Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Paul said, "First," that kind of indicates a priority, doesn't it? "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." Flip over to 1 Corinthians. Told you we're going to do a survey, and then we're going to make some observations and extract some principles from what we're reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, again very early, he says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, we read, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. In Philippians 1, 3 through 5, we read, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." Flip to the book of Colossians chapter 1. You see a pattern here, don't you? In the first part of these letters, Paul's expressing thanks. In Colossians 1, verse 3, "For," he says, "we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth." Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 2, we read, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And then Philemon, verse 4, says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Obviously, we don't have time to do a careful exegesis of all those passages, but sometimes once in a while, I'll do a message like this. I'll just read you a volume of scriptures and make some observations for us to apply to our lives today. And the first thing I want us to note is obvious. Paul was a thankful person. We know Paul was a thankful person because his expressions of thanksgiving are found so frequently in his writings. Folks, we cannot claim to be a thankful people if the expressions never come out of our mouths. If we are not people who have a habit of saying thank you, of expressing our gratitude, we cannot lay claim to being a thankful people. Truly thankful people don't have to focus on giving thanks. They don't need a holiday to remind them to give thanks. It's just a part of who they are. So if we are genuinely thankful, our expressions of thanks will be frequent. But then, if frequent thanks are given, they always have the potential to become mindless and repetitive and meaningless, don't they? If you're in a habit of praying before every meal, isn't that a challenge for you? Of avoiding the habit of just saying the same old routine prayer before you eat each time? Because expressions, if they become routine, mindless, and meaningless strings of words, that are just habitually repeated, they're not necessarily expressions of gratitude. But it's obvious to me that Paul's expressions of thanksgiving in these passages were sincere. They're similar in structure, but they're never the same in content. And they're not even included in every letter. If Paul had just written the same thing, the same expression of thanksgiving every time he wrote a letter, we would think it might just be habitual, but it's not. They're unique and they're sincere. It wasn't just a habit for Paul. These are thoughtful, meaningful expressions of gratitude. A sincere expression of thanksgiving should be specific. It should be heartfelt and it should be thoughtful. You know, we continue to try to teach our kids to say thank you when somebody does something for them. And I see my grown children teaching my little grandchildren to say thank you when someone does something for them. But it can be pretty obvious that with a small child, those can just be words they say to get, you know, the applause from mom and dad. And I think sometimes as adults, we find ourselves saying thank you as much out of habit as anything else. So our expressions can become meaningless unless they're heartfelt and thoughtful. So let me give you some helpful hint. Next time you want to take the opportunity to express your thankfulness to someone, don't just thank them for what they did. Take time to carefully consider what it is specifically about them that you're thankful for. Let me give you an example. We're going to go to my mom's Thursday, and I'll promise you that we'll have a ton of food. There'll be enough food there to feed a small army. Dozens of family members will converge on my mom's home, and it will be good. Many people will say thank you to my mom for her efforts in hosting us. Everyone will be thankful for the food and the fellowship and the fun because we'll have an abundance of all three. But I want to tell you what I'm thankful for about my mom. I'm thankful for the heart of that woman that hosts that event every year. And if you know my mom, you know what I'm talking about. You see, I'm thankful for the love that will go into every minute of the work of preparation. I'm thankful for the genuine expression of excitement that will just burst forth from her face with every different person that walks through that door. You've seen it. If you know my mom, you've seen it. It's just like, and her arms go out. And why do her arms go out? Because she wants a hug. And every hug my mom gives is just chock full of love and sincerity and genuine appreciation for somebody coming. That hug is not just a habit. It's a sincere expression of her love. So we need to learn to be thoughtful and sincere as we express our appreciation, not just for what people do, but for the gift that they are from God to our lives. Also observe from these expressions of thanks that Paul was thankful for every believer that God brought into his life. Often through these passages, we read that Paul was thankful for all, for you all, or for all of you. Do you think all of those people for whom Paul's giving thanks were the easiest people to get along with? Or the greatest blessings in our lives as we like to count blessings? I kind of doubt it. Some people are easy to be thankful for. Grandbabies fall in that category, don't they, Craig? I mean, they're the greatest. But everybody's not our grandbaby. And it's not easy always to be necessarily thankful for everybody in our lives. Because there are people that oppose us. There are people that dislike us. There are people who fail to appreciate all we do for them. There are people that take advantage of us, who rebel against our authority. Those who will persecute us and despise us. But do we count those people as blessings as well? We should. We should give thanks for them all. Why? Because they're the chisels in the hand of a sovereign God whom He is using to chip away everything in us that doesn't look like Jesus. Next observation. Paul thanked God continuously for His work in the lives of those people that Paul had reached with the gospel. And I got to tell you, this just kind of dawned on me. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who had a more effective ministry than the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, the guy made converts and started churches. God was using him. God was blessing his ministry. And you know, one of the reasons I believe he was doing it is because Paul was frequently taking time to stop and say, "Thank you, God, for what you're doing in these people's lives." I don't think in that regard God's that much different from us. How much do you enjoy doing things for people who genuinely express gratitude to you for what you've done? We like it. We appreciate genuine expressions of gratitude. It makes us want to do more for people. And I do believe that one of the reasons that God used Paul so effectively was that Paul was one who didn't want the glory for himself. He wanted God to have the glory, and he was thankful to God for everything that he saw God doing in the lives of others. Here's another observation from these expressions of gratitude we read in these letters. They always come early in the letters. They come at the beginning of every letter. You find these expressions of gratitude. Why? Well, Let's remember the purpose for these letters. They were written to encourage believers in the faith. Sometimes they were written to give instruction in sound doctrine. Sometimes they were written as an admonition. Sometimes Paul was having to correct error in these churches and set things straight that were not right. But no matter what the specific purpose of the letter may have been, Paul sincerely expressed his thanks to God for what had been happening in these people's lives, and he took time to put that expression in the letter. Well, what does that do? Well, I think that prepares the hearts of the people for what's coming next. Paul's expressions of thanks communicate to these churches that he knows what's going on in their lives. He's paying attention to their situations. He's aware of their struggles and their successes. And he communicates that he cares. And we all know that the old saying, right? People don't care how much you know until what? Till they know how much you care. Paul's thanksgiving, frequent and sincere thanksgiving of thanks for these people and for God's work in their lives, demonstrates that he cares about them and is preparing them to receive his words of instruction or even admonition. From whom is it easier to receive instruction or admonition? From someone that's paying attention to what's going on in your life and lifts you to the Lord regularly, or from someone who just wants to preach you a sermon? It's always easier to receive from somebody that demonstrates they care. We see this specifically in the example of his letter to the Corinthians that we read. So Paul, he thanked God that in everything the Corinthian believers were enriched in Christ, quote, in all speech and all knowledge, and that they were not lacking in any gift. And then what does he go on to admonish them in the letter about? Their speaking, their knowledge, and the exercise of their gifts. But he's genuinely thankful for God's work in their lives. And I think they knew it. This should be a lesson for us, folks. If we have something we need to address with someone, we should first seek to understand what's going on in that person's life and prayerfully lift them before God in prayer, expressing our thanks to God for what he's doing in them. Paul demonstrated how much he cared before he began to address the instruction or the admonition, because we all receive it better from someone who demonstrates that they care. Another observation here is the connection between Paul's thankfulness and prayer. The primary avenue for Paul's expression of thanks was to thank God for them as he remembered them in his prayers. Prayer is simply communicating with God, and as your gratitude grows for other people, just take time to lift them before the Lord and thank God for them. Another observation is the fact that Paul was thankful. He was thankful for these people. And he was thankful not for what these people had done for him, but for what God was doing in their lives and through them. Usually, our expressions of thanksgiving to other people are limited to thanking them for what they have done for us. That's the easiest, isn't it? And these types of thankful expressions are often performed out of a sense of obligation. You might buy me lunch, and I feel, I must say thank you, and I should say thank you. But Paul is not expressing thanksgiving because of what these people had done for him, but rather what God had done in and through them. And this tells me something about Paul. Paul wasn't worried about what he was getting out of the deal. Paul wasn't being thankful because Paul had a focus or an emphasis on himself. He was genuinely concerned about what God was doing in them and how God was being glorified through what he was doing in them. And the only way Paul could possibly have been this aware of all that God was doing in these people's lives was if he was constantly focused on them rather than himself. You see, selfish people only focus on themselves and are rarely, if ever, genuinely thankful. And our natural bent, folks, is to be focused on ourselves and not others. It's another of those things that can't happen apart from the work of God's Spirit indwelling us and filling us and controlling us. And this may be an area in our lives where we simply need to go to God and confess our selfishness and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit to make us a thankful child of God. I hope that Thanksgiving is just as prevalent and just as prominent a theme in your own life as it is the Apostle Paul's. Maybe we all need to focus not just on having an attitude of gratitude, but also on the expression of our gratitude to God for the blessings of others that he has brought into our lives. So as you focus on your Thanksgiving, not just this week, but in our lives to come, let's let our expressions of thanksgiving be frequent. Let them be sincere. Let them be specific. Let's be thankful for everyone in our lives, even the difficult ones. Let's make sure that our thankfulness demonstrates our concern for them and not just ourselves. Let's be thankful not just for what people have done for us, but also for what God is doing in their lives and ours. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a thankful people, and we want to honor you in the way we express our gratitude to one another. Lord, we thank you for so much of your word that deals with or is an example of thankfulness. And we pray that you would help us to learn from the instruction of your word how that we might honor you by being a truly grateful, thankful people. Just seal the truth of your word to our hearts and bless our celebration of Thanksgiving this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.